that God could, if he wanted to, still, Randy, pow, prophesy to us. That shouldn't be too far out of the realm of possibility for the believer's mind. It really shouldn't. Does it happen is another question. The one thing we always have to remember, and this is why we are told to test the spirits and to not believe them. Because, as John said, many false prophets have gone into the world. And how we can know the false prophet. What they say doesn't match up with what he's revealed to everybody. That's an important thing. God's told me something. Okay, does it match with what he's told everybody? That's a very important distinction to make. Because God would not, whether he could or not is irrelevant. God would not tell Matt something that directly contradicted something he revealed to everybody else in the world. He would not do that. That is not what God does. And we can take the words of Jesus in Matthew 12 when he talks about Satan, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. It can't. God's kingdom, the prophecies from Daniel and other places, God's kingdom endures forever. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Anyone you want. If God were to lie to anybody so as to contradict what he said here, it makes God not really God. It makes him a liar. But as the scripture says, it is impossible for God to lie. So, regarding speaking to us individually, and this is what this morning is about. This is the second of the questions that I had last week. Last week is, can there be prophets? Sure, there could be. Are there? It's another question. I don't know. But many insist today that God will speak to us individually. He'll talk to you, he'll talk to me, he'll talk to you, talk to you, talk to you, talk to you, talk to you. All of us individually. Does God speak to us individually? Yeah. Right? If you have a Bible, God speaks to you individually. If you observe the creation, God speaks to you individually. If you have a brother or sister come to you, God is speaking to you. There's all kinds of ways we can say God speaks to us individually, but that's not the question, is it? The question is God in your head speaking to you audibly, to you and you alone, but also you and you alone, but also you and you alone, and also you and you alone, etc., 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 etc.? Does God do that? That's not even the right question either. The real question is, has God ever done that? Let's think about the question of the prophets. We had this time for about maybe 100 years, about 2,000 years ago, where God worked through in masses of people, Christians primarily. Even then, God didn't speak to everyone individually. Now, when you start looking into this question, one of the first things that the people who believe this will say is they will say, well, God spoke to Moses. He spoke to Noah, he spoke to Elijah, he spoke to Isaiah, he spoke to the apostles. They'll name all these people from the Bible that God spoke to. Did God speak to them? Yes, he did. Now let's take those people that we know of that God spoke to. And let's add up every single other person in the Bible who is not given dialogue. For example, 1 Chronicles has about 4 chapters of genealogies of the sons of Jacob. Name after name after name after name after name. Nehemiah does the same thing for a couple chapters. Name after name after name after name. The genealogy of Jesus, name after name after name. Add all those names together. Then let's add all the people who are not named in the Bible. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, ends with just a list of people in general whose children risen from the dead, sawn in two, persecuted, blah, blah, blah. Add all those people together. All the people that are in the Bible compared to all the people that God actually spoke to in the Bible. And I didn't do the math because that's a lot of people. This is just a wild stab in the dark, and I'm being liberal in this estimation. Less than 10% of all the people in the Bible did God actually speak to individually. Has it ever happened before? No. One of the things we learn about God is God works in patterns. One of the things we talked about, how could God talk to through a prophet today? Yes, He could. Why? Because He's done it since the beginning. But what has God not done since the beginning? Talk to every single person on the earth individually. We don't see it in the Bible. We just don't see it there. If He didn't do it 4,000 years ago, if He didn't do it 3,000 years ago, or even 2,000 years ago, even in the New Testament church, why would we think He does it now? Why would God suddenly start doing something He's never done before? That's really where the question needs to begin and really needs to end. But that's not going to be good enough for some people. So let's just consider some things. There was a time, a brief time, where God potentially spoke to everybody on the earth. Adam and Eve, there were two people. We know in Genesis 3, He spoke to both Adam and to Eve. We know that. But then you get into Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. We know Abel was pleasing to God. We know Cain was not. But have you ever noticed that in Genesis 4, we are never told that God spoke to Abel? We're only told He spoke to Cain. Did He speak to Abel? He could have, but we're not told that. So even going from Genesis 3 to Genesis 4, one generation of people, we already have God not speaking to everybody on the earth, potentially. But then there's God's, let's just say God spoke to Abel and to Cain. Remember that when God spoke to Cain, God cursed Cain and sent Cain off, and Cain was afraid of being killed by people for murdering his brother. There's other people on the earth. Did God speak to them? We're still only one, at the most two generations removed from Adam and Eve. We're not told God spoke to any of them. So God's already broken that pattern of speaking to all people on the earth. So let's think about it another way. Can anyone else speak to us individually? Let's go back to the beginning. We know God spoke to Adam and Eve. Did anyone else speak to Adam and Eve? Yeah, right? There's another option there. Let's just for a moment, let's just give people the benefit of the doubt. They're hearing voices in their head. Now, modern science calls that schizophrenia and all kinds of other things. But in the past, that was not the assumption. In the past, the assumption was you're hearing a god or you're hearing a demon. For a long time, those were the only two options. You're either hearing a god or you're hearing a demon. And you know what people never ever consider when they hear the voice of God? That it's not the voice of God. That it's the voice of the devil or a demon. And by the way, of those two options, there's actually multiple options. So let's say you're hearing the voice of God. It might not be the Father. It might be Jesus. It might be the Holy Spirit. It might be an angel. That's all under option one. Then option two, you have Satan or a demon, right? Which brings us to remember that in this second option, we have the warnings from 2 Corinthians 11 and Galatians 1. Let's start with Galatians 1 just because it's easier to say. Galatians 1, verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now we're back to where we started in the beginning. God would not tell Matt one thing that directly contradicted something He's told everybody else in the world through the Scriptures. He would not do that. This is what Paul is talking about. Which is really not another, it's a twisting of the actual gospel. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now let's remember what Satan did in the garden. Did Satan really lie to Eve? Not really. But what he did do was distort in her mind what God actually said. Did God really say? That was the premise of Satan's questions to her. Did God really say? When she said yes, what does Satan do? Listen, I know that sounds bad. But God's only saying that because God knows that when you eat of it, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Was that true? That was true. That's exactly what happened. But what was the real lie? You won't die. That was distortion. It was distortion of what the actual truth was. And then Paul goes on to say in Galatians 1 verse 8, even if we, now when usually when an apostle says we, he usually means apostles. Could be what he means here. It could mean apostles and other evangelists. Irrelevant, because Paul's including all the teachers of the gospel, including the apostles. Even if we or an angel from heaven, even if an angel should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he's be accursed. Anything contrary to what God's told everybody else in the world, and everybody else in the world has the same opportunity to learn this. When God speaks to me individually, no one really has opportunity to hear that except me. But everybody has opportunity for this. Well, it's not in every language. It could be. There are people working tirelessly to put this in every known language on the earth right now. Every known language. And as far as I know, there are Bibles. Go look at, what's that website? Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway seems to have the most translations on it. English and other languages. The list is really long. And for some reason, English translations, people can't get enough of them. I just found out that the New American Standard has been updated yet again. It came out in 19-oh-something. Then the updated version came out in 1995. There's another one in the last couple years that Bible Gateway just put on there. That's the default now. So the point is that God has told everybody what's in here. But when he tells you something, that's only for you. But does it still match with this? So we can get really deceived by that. Oh, I got to go to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 11, only a page or two away, verse 14. Paul talking about false apostles, deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. That's verse 13. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Has anyone ever wondered why Eve was talking to the serpent in the first place? In our time, like, we see snakes. Oh, a snake! You know, have you ever watched those nature guys on TV? Well, you can know if it's poisonous by the shape of its head. How many of you are going to wait around long enough to get close enough to any snake to see if it's poisonous or not? Right? Well, what does Eve do? Oh, hey, serpent, how's it going? Let's have a conversation. There was no fear of the serpent. The serpent had disguised himself as an angel of light. I know it was a serpent, but you get the point. Something that Eve was not afraid of. She wouldn't have been grossed out by. She wouldn't have been freaked out by. Maybe even had conversations with before. And that's how Satan works. He gets in through familiarity. You know where the Bible always warns of false teachers, where they come from? Me. And guys like me. Mike and guys like Mike. Mike Brenneman, who's coming in a month or so. And guys like him. That's always where the false teachers come from. Almost always. That's where most of the warnings are from anyway. Paul even told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, savage wolves will come in from among you and destroy the flock. That's always the warning. Familiarity. But then there's the third option. Well, okay, so there's God, God the Father, the Son, the Spirit, the angels. That's one option of voice I might be hearing. Satan and demons, that's another option I might be hearing. All of us talk to ourselves. Some of us even joke about that. Oh yeah, I must be crazy, I'm talking to myself. But we all talk to ourselves. We all reason through things in our head. We all have thoughts of our own that come from somewhere. But they're ours. They're our thoughts. They're our voice. They're our imagination. There's not just the Father or the demons. There's also ourselves we may be hearing. We sometimes forget that we have a will and we get to make decisions. And our will gets involved in the decision-making process. Ecclesiastes 1, when Solomon is introducing the book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us how he spoke to himself, or he spoke within his heart. And he basically said, self, I'm going to do anything I want to do. I'm not going to withhold anything from myself. And he's saying how he talked to himself. He reasoned with himself to come to this conclusion. This, he's going to not withhold anything from him. In Luke 12, Jesus tells a parable of a man who had great goods and was going to build up. He said, the man began reasoning to himself, saying, I know what I'll do. I'll build barns, and I'll build more barns, and I'll store up all my stuff. And this is where Jesus says, fool, that's not your soul's required of you. We reason within ourselves to come to conclusions, and we talk to ourselves. We work our way through things. There's a practice that I've been hearing about lately that some say is worthwhile, and for someone like me, I just don't think it would be. It's called journaling. It's basically keeping a diary, writing out your thoughts and so on and so forth. That's basically talking to yourself. You're writing down the events of the day to keep track, to keep in mind, reasoning through things, analyzing things, so that you can figure out things for yourself. They don't have a therapist, they don't talk to friends, they talk to themselves. And they keep those journals, those diaries, and then years later they go back and read through them and see where they were, to talk to themselves again. Oh, this is where you were a year ago, a month ago, 6 years ago. This is where you were. But now, you're somewhere else. That's talking to yourself. In Colossians 2, we looked at this passage last week as well, gives us yet a great warning about this. I haven't heard this a lot. Very, very rarely have I heard this about people having dreams that God spoke to them in a dream. It's never been personal. Like it wasn't someone like I was face to face. It was always in an article or on some video or something. But in Colossians 2, Paul gives us a warning about things that we hear in our minds. Colossians 2, verse 18, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of angels, and taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. There's a footnote in my New American Standard that says, instead of taking his stand on visions he has seen, it could read, going on into detail about visions he has seen. So I had a dream. I'm not going to belabor this again. I did this last week a little bit. I had a dream. You go on and talk about the dream. And it must be true because, I don't know. So we have these dreams, we have these visions, we hear these voices. And so what does the immature mind do? Instead of holding fast the head from whom the whole body, being supplied and held together by what joints and ligaments grows into, I read that wrong. And not holding fast the head from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. So the voices in my head tell me one thing. And I want to grow that way. And I want to be that way. I have a goal of mine, the person I want to be. That might not be from God, the person you want to be. Here's a better question. Who does God want you to be? Who are we told to be like? And I think I'm just skipping ahead in my mind now, but we're going to do it anyway. Yeah. That's who we want to be. That's what God wants us to be. That's right. So this is how we typically see things. We have the angel on one shoulder speaking us what we should do. We have the devil on the other shoulder telling us what we should do. And that's kind of how we think about those things. But there's that person in the middle. Not everyone believes this, but most seem to, that we have free will. And if we have free will, what does that mean? That means the angel on the left can't make us do the good. Can only try to influence us to do the good. The same is true with the voice on the other shoulder, the devil. The devil cannot make us sin. Can't make us do the evil. They can only try to influence our decision-making process. We get to choose every single time. God can set us up for success. And the devil can set us up for failure. But we always get to choose. Always. Every single time. And that is why we are told not to believe every spirit. Because of those three options, 1, 2, 3. Of those three options, how many do we know for a fact would be good? One. Only the one. We can't know for a fact our own thoughts would be good. We can't know for a fact that, because sometimes we don't really know what's best for us. And sometimes we don't even want what is best for us. And we certainly know that this one, though it may seem okay, it's ultimately not going to be okay. Because the agendas of the three, especially of the one on the left and the one on the right, those two agendas are opposite one another. They have their agendas. God's agenda, salvation of our soul. What's the devil's agenda? The opposite of that. Destroy us, exactly. To keep us from God. To keep God from us. So, what is our agenda? If our agenda is to not be separated from God, then we have to always lean toward the voice of the righteous. But there again, it may sound like the right voice, but it may in fact be the wrong voice. Because unless it's right with this, that everyone has access to, we can't really know for sure. I have one story for sure I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you the second story too. The first story is one that is about me. I was in a Bible study once with two guys. It's irrelevant. I was in a Bible study with these guys. And we were talking about baptism. And like most Christians in the 21st century, they believe that you're saved without baptism. And we were trying to reason through the scriptures, and one of them finally says, well, God told me I was saved. Wait. God told you were saved. When? Well, he went through the scenario. I said, but you weren't baptized yet. He said, no, I was saved without baptism. I said, well, then that voice wasn't from God. Because God's voice in the scriptures says the opposite, that you need baptism to be saved. It's a part of the process that God Himself gave. That was one of the few times that I've been able to test someone who said that God spoke to them. That was an easy one. Super easy, right? The Bible says something different. So that voice you heard could not be from God. I did not argue with him whether or not he heard an actual voice. Don't do that. Don't argue with people whether or not you're hearing voices. Don't do that. Reason from the Scriptures. Even the Apostle Paul, who had the ability to perform miracles and speak from God, reasoned with people from the Scriptures. And now here's the second story. Now, I've told a couple of you this story, so you know who this story is about, so don't, I know I've told you. So don't tell anyone who this story is about. I know a man, a brother in Christ, a preacher, who was studying a particular passage. I couldn't say the passage. It was like a Matthew 24 type of passage. It was a difficult one. And he was reasoning through it. And he had the Bible open, and he was reasoning in his mind, talking to himself. Well, what if this, and what if that, and what if this, and what if that? And he was falling asleep while he was reasoning through this difficult passage. And as he's falling asleep, he's thinking, oh, if this and that, then that brings in this and that. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Remember, he's falling asleep. As he's reasoning through this, in his mind, talking to himself, reasoning through this difficult passage of Scripture, thinking he's coming to a solution, and in that state of half asleep and half awake, he hears this. Let's just say his name is Gary. He hears this. You've just about got it, Gary. Woke him, and the way he describes it is just like that, with that violent waking from the sleep kind of thing. Freaked him out. And you know, and I, by the way, I asked him this week if I could tell the story. He said, sure. And I asked him, that passage you were studying, do you still have that same interpretation of that passage? He said, yeah. I still have that same interpretation. And he told me, I knew instantly, it wasn't my voice I was hearing, it was another voice. But that doesn't mean it wasn't my voice. That, and there's still only three options of what I heard. It was either my voice telling me, convincing myself that I'm doing it right. It could have been the voice of the devil telling me, lying to me. And it could have been the voice of God encouraging me to continue on. He didn't know. He said it never happened before, hasn't happened since. But that conclusion he had reached in that half state of asleep and awake, the conclusion he had reached, that's still the conclusion that he has. And he's tried to prove it wrong, but he hasn't been able to. So, if I told you who this was, you'd be like, wait, what, that guy? Yeah, that guy. And it freaks him out. It freaks me out telling the story. But I don't tell you that to, as you're falling asleep tonight, listen for the voice of God. I tell you that because we live in a world that isn't the real world. We live in a world that's a place of temporariness. We live in a world that is separated from the reality of our existence. We're blinded to our existence. We're kept from it until this thing that is preventing us from sharing fully in that reality is removed from us. Then we will see as things truly are, and we will know as we are known. So don't just instantly, oh, you talk to yourself? No, get away from me. Don't believe them, but test them to see whether or not they are from God. Because what if it is from God? How many people heard the voice of God through the voice of another? And instead of listening to that voice, killed the voice. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, John, Jesus, James, Paul, Matthew. Few names here and there. So keep those things in mind. And I'm sure as you get around more and more, you will start meeting more and more people who say God has spoken to them, if you haven't already. I'm running into it more and more. Whether or not they're speaking, no matter who is speaking to them is irrelevant. We all know God has spoken to everyone through this. This is the litmus test. This is the standard by which all will be judged, regardless of the voices that are heard or speaking or whatever. We know this is the voice of God. Claims to be, it's proven itself over and over again for thousands and thousands of years. And this will last as long as God allows the world to last. And in fact, as Jesus even said, His words will endure forever. So, thanks for your attention and your patience, especially those last two stories. And this goes back into trusting the Lord with all our heart. Is this worth trusting in? I believe so. I think most of you also believe so. And we need to share that as much as possible with people. The voice that you're hearing, okay, that may be God, but there's two other options. Those two other options, you really can't trust. And again, we're told not to believe those voices. But we are told to believe this voice, to have trust in this, to have faith in the, not just trust in this, but trust in the one who created this for us. So, thanks again. Dennis is going to lead us in another song. So, as you please stand and sing the song, if anyone has a need, please let me or go back to Mike and talk to him or let me know. People on Zoom, text the thing that Zach told you. Dennis, will you please lead the song? Let's stand.
Would you live for Jesus and be always your end good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you are.
We thank You for this beautiful day that You have provided for us to all come together and worship You and learn more about what You've been telling us for our entire lives. We please ask You to watch over the members who aren't able to visit us today. and also who are traveling. Please watch over them as they come back home to us. Please be in our minds as we know that you will talk to us, not just through our head, but also through the book which you've given us to learn from. We thank you for everything that you have done for us, for sending your son down on the cross to provide us a way to come home to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wouldn't mind being seated, we're going to have just a few announcements before we leave.
Indeed, a pleasure to see everybody out this morning. It's a beautiful day. I think spring is hopefully here, or if not, right around the corner, so something to look forward to. I want to thank all those who come together, teach class to the kids and the adult classes, prepare the Lord's Supper, clean the building. You know, there's just a lot of people that contribute to our